We here on Venus have evolved to a point where concept has not only placed us beyond the need of such low orders of expression as word forms, but instead we have a universal and integrated concept which, when properly used, places us at a point of instantaneous perception with the all-knowing, all-pervading wisdom and intellect, as it is expressed in the countless dimensions of the whole universal cosmos. If you pause a moment and think, and if you can grasp even one small portion of this idea, you will see that I am having some difficulty in expressing to you even a small part of our way of life and our concepts. However, let us go inside this large building which happens to be the home of one of my brothers. As you noticed yesterday, these buildings are all constructed of some crystalline material semicolon, and they are in a wide variety with domes, spires and minarets, all seemingly merged together or interlocking with various corridors, passageways and balconies. The Earth people might think this a bit confusing. To those who dwell in an arrangement of five small cubicles, or some such number, this arrangement is quite suitable for their mentality. They would of course be confused if they found themselves in a home which covered several acres or even several miles, in which as many as 1,000 people lived. Many of your earth animals and birds exhibit in some form a higher degree of psychic intelligence than that of man. The swallows of Capistrano return at the identical time each year from an unknown place. Many species of geese and ducks, yes, even hummingbirds, have been known to fly thousands of miles across trackless wastes to find at the end of their destination, as they unerringly flew, the place where they were born. A bat can fly around in a perfectly darkened room wherein wires have been stretched without touching any of them. Numerous other plants, insects and animals all exhibit to Earthmen in their cycle of life some seemingly unfathomable expressions. As we walk around in these various rooms, we do so with the full and conscious knowledge of where we are going and how to get there. In fact, we do not even have to walk. As I have said, each room is constructed and ordained for a certain specific purpose, and it can therefore be said to have a certain vibration. To find this room, therefore, means to merely tune in, as it were, to this vibrational relationship, and we are there. As was explained, the curved ceilings were constructed of a crystal material for the purpose of separation of various wave train frequency spectrums. Actually, as you can see, each ceiling is composed of a number of sections of parabolically curved parts. These sections are all of a certain particular shape and in a certain alignment, so that they will assume the properties for which they were designed. By merely sitting in various parts of the room, we can receive thought passages from any part of the universe. As our planet itself turns upon its axis, like the Earth, therefore each hour presents a different section of reception from the universe. We therefore regulate our periods of meditation in accordance with these time factors, something like receiving certain programs at certain hours of the day on your television. However, it must be remembered that it is not a one-way communication, and by the proper usage and direction of the radiant energy from the fountainhead through our minds, we can transmit and send back to the individual or group some corrective and helpful energy which will aid in overcoming any negative conditions which we have intercepted. This will explain to some extent how we use a lot of our time on Venus, and it will be discussed under the heading of spiritual therapy and healing. There are, of course, many other ways in which we Venusians often go off from this planet in a more personal way into the lower astral realms which are associated with the more material planets, for the purpose of helping newly liberated, or as you call them, dead people, who find themselves in a new world. Several of your Earth books relate experiences where groups of newly liberated men from battlefields have found themselves under the direct supervision of a Venusian whom they portrayed or visualized as some great and shining soul or master. Actually, of course, looking at things from our position, we are not masters, nor are we even close to mastership. However, from your Earth plane we may appear to be in relatively some such position. Above us, however, using the word above rather loosely, are many planes and dimensions which express life in a much higher degree of concept than we do. We are on the borderline, as you might say, between something which might be likened to impartially realizing or conceiving in our life some previously conceived philosophies and idea associations related to the more physical or material planes, and on the other side of our perspective is, as I have said, the realization of higher dimensions and expressions. Therefore we still need such finite forms and associations as cities or dwellings, even though they are in a much more highly evolved state of evolution. This also applies to what you call a body. When you begin to see us more clearly, you will see that we have a form quite similar to your own, the being, however, an appearance of transparent, golden radiance. I might say that another man from another world other than your own who did not have a body like yours would, upon seeing us, as in your position, visualize us as he appeared to himself. This too is purely a product of concept, just as speech, intestinal assimilation and other factors essential to your life, are actually abstract and non-existent. Now I am beginning to see that this may seem a bit confusing to you and refer again to small doses. Let us wait again for a passing of time, and like the rains from heaven, which should not fall too copiously lest they should wash away the soil, we will return to our respective positions. With eternal love. Malva. Chapter 11. We will dispense with the customary greeting as we have been in contact almost continuously during the past many hours. Yes. You received my thought impression quite correctly, and you have been wondering somewhat as to the many buildings and the position of the planet itself, in its position of usefulness. Venus is what might be called a mother planet, serving not only the Earth, but a number of similar planets in a capacity which is something like mother, nurse, and doctor. Many of those who are liberated from the flesh in these various planets have, shall I say, escaped from one prison into another. Oft-times the bond of flesh and other karmic conditions are of such intensity as to prohibit a free and uninhibited ingress into another dimension. Under such conditions a person will, when becoming discarnate and detached from the body, be in an extremely atrophied condition. They are more like inert plasmic masses of some nebulous substance rather than the true cohesive thought form body or psychic body which would normally be theirs had they practiced an open-minded spiritual philosophy in their Earth existence. We, and other workers from sister planets, who are serving in a like capacity, form what you might call brigades or battalions and go forth and gather up these inert helpless decarnate entities. They may be drowned sailors, in some battle-tossed sea, or soldier boys who have been projected with severe suddenness into a strange world. Many of them often go right on fighting an imaginary enemy, and unless great care is used in making them conscious of their position, they may go berserk on finding that the moment of the much dreaded death has arrived. I need not go into too much detail. It is sufficient to add that your imagination can serve you best in picturing the countless and innumerable places and conditions in which we salvage this human wreckage. Yes, my friends, with the spare time we have gained in freeing our minds from the obsessive flesh, we have much more time available and are much more capable of serving mankind in a capacity in which he could not often serve himself. Therefore, in your trip through our city you will not need to wonder at the lack of superficial adornments, or the lack of conveniences which you have associated with your daily lives. You will not find bathrooms, as there is no need to purge and cleanse the body. The all-intelligent radiant energy from the fountainhead strengthens us and purifies us and fulfills our every desire. In a broad sense, our dwellings are not a necessity and are not used in the manner in which the earthman is accustomed to using his. Our dwellings are conceived and constructed with one ultimate purpose, and their function is to help serve and fill our needs in the service of universal brotherhood. Later on you shall enter some of the wards and see how these atrophied spiritual wrecks are nursed back to a semblance of health and consciousness. Generally speaking, most cases will automatically gravitate into the spiritual plane which best suits their needs, and more often than not it is the leaving off place of their last spiritual reincarnation. In speaking of this most important subject, evolution or reincarnation, we might liken man's progressive cycles to something like a winding stairway which spirals upward into some far-off unknown place. He will, in climbing this stair, find himself in one half of the cycle where he will look about him and see and live only among things of the material domain. Then as he progresses onward, He will go to the opposite side of the stairway, and there he will see all things about him which pertain to his spiritual world or consciousness. A moment's thought will point out an obvious fact, that the more cycles or revolutions he makes, he will, on the spiritual side, be closer to his ultimate goal, whereas on the material side these things will be increasingly farther and farther away. Should he, however, at any time, lose the correct balance between these two worlds or dimensions, he will revert back and fall downward, invoking what is commonly called karma. This merely means that he will again have to tread the same steps over which he formerly passed and under the same conditions until he corrects this unbalanced condition. It might be pointed out that he is very seldom, if ever, aware that he is retreading a karmic path. God in his supreme wisdom would naturally assume that man should learn his life lessons unassisted and solely from the inward consciousness. To those who may believe that reincarnation has involved inversions into the lower orders of animal kingdoms, may I say that this is not only fallacious, but extremely dangerous. You may form a thought pattern which has the power of hypnotic adhesion, and you may find yourself evolving into some such state of evolution, even though it may be a fixed fancy and is entirely unrealistic. So, dear ones, as you read these lines, you must fix the thought firmly, in all dimensions of your consciousness, that reincarnation is a wonderful and a beautiful sequence of spiritual evolutions, and in its proper order, it will take you through all of the realms of God's innumerable celestial universes. The only price to pay, if you can call it a price, is the constant conscious reality of God's presence working in you and through you, and in all things about you. And so for this time, brother and sister, rest with God's peace. Chapter 12. Although it has been some hours since we had a direct transmission, there have, however, been several occasions when thought projections have existed between us. I believe that we left off in our last discussion with something about reincarnation. However, as this is primarily somewhat of a visitation into our way of life, we will first explore a little further into the innermost reaches of this large dwelling which was our original, shall I say, Exhibit A. If you recall, we had entered the front portico or atrium, and you were viewing the many and diversified forms of plant life which were growing around the walls as well as in a large area within the center. This large doorway where we find ourselves, as you see, is a large corridor hall which is very wide and very high. It might measure something like 100 feet wide, in your earth measurements, by about three times that much in height. As you see, its docks bear somewhat of a general resemblance to the huge Gothic cathedral in a French city named, I believe, Reims. Of course, there is a great difference in the material used in the construction, as well as in the manner in which it was constructed. There it was done by hands. Here, as I have said, our minds performed that function. About every 50 feet you will notice a large column of pure white crystal which rises to the base of the overhead arches. It is matched by a similar column on the opposite side of the hall. The sections of crystal which have been formed between the arches are, as you see, mostly of pink shades which diffuse a somewhat rosy tint of light into the space about us. At your feet is a floor which is composed of a mosaic of hundreds of pictures, all done in such a fashion that they reflect the true dimensional effect. It is like walking on top of a picture gallery. The pictures themselves depict scenes and historical events which have been taken from real life on the various planets. All in all, a person could obtain a very good education by studying the many pictures which form this floor. They are all constructed of the crystalline substance. The various trees, houses or people are cast or formed within the depths, in a manner similar to the plastic ornaments on your tabletops which contain roses or other objects. Now let us walk down this hall, and soon we shall see the central pavilion. This is a huge circular enclosure with a supporting structure of pillars around the entire circumference. It would be, in your earth measurements, about the area of a city block. The floor here too, is constructed of many picture form mosaics. The ceiling, however, is different. Bear in mind the previous functions of these ceilings. You will notice that the crystalline structure forming the roof sections are formed of a large number of parabolically curved surfaces, each one of which seems to radiate or diffuse a different hue of light. This central pavilion is actually a gathering place or meeting place where numbers of my people comprising the population of this particular center will, at different times and for different functions, assemble for purposes which may involve large and concentrated projections of mine energies towards some distant planet which is in distress. The peoples thus assembled will arrange themselves under these various parabolic facets, in the order of their frequency relationship, which is most conducive to their particular radiating frequency. I might say here that you Earth people, and those on other similar planets, are not quite aware of all the factors of radiant energy which enter into your dimensional relationship. You have many people who believe in sunbathing, others stress great value on more moderate dosages. It is somewhat well known, fortunately, that the sun's rays can be quite dangerous in large quantities. The Earth scientist has just recently discovered how to convert sunlight directly into electricity through the use of wafers of silicon. I would like to point out that in sunlight there is much energy which exists in frequency spectrums of which your science knows nothing. Some of these radiant energies can be quite dangerous as they have their most drastic effect on the psychic centers. Skin cancer is easily induced by these frequencies. There is also a breakdown in the tissue of the subcutaneous structures which causes the skin to lose its elasticity and to age prematurely. We here on Venus, in the upper realms, know of these factors and living as we do in a more highly evolved state of consciousness, are therefore much more conscious in some ways of these frequency spectrums than the Earth people. That is one reason why we have gone to such lengths to construct our buildings in this crystalline fashion. There are also other radiations which enter into the Earth from outer space, but as they are less dangerous, I will, for the moment, pass them by. Now that you have looked around the central pavilion and have somewhat satisfied yourself with its general appearance, let us, if you will, please sit here quietly for a moment beside the fountain in the center. I have been receiving a barrage of thought projections from you and from our sister relative to some of the Earth transcripts relating to some reported visitations to your planet. One particular case of which I shall mention, as I enter into something of a summary of what actually occurred. If you remember, it was previously explained that there are many orders of existence on this planet. In the very lowest order, any person living there would have powers which the uninitiate Earthman would think miraculous. Such a Venusian would, when appearing on your Earth, on shaking hands with you, have that peculiar feel which has been so described in the case where a brother Boko appeared on your Earth planet and was later followed by his brother. See The Venusians, by Lee Crandall. It was said that they sought employment in some sort of a publication house for the specified reason of being supported in their Earth life, and to this I do not agree. Even the lowest order of Venusian would be quite capable of supporting himself at least for several days without aid. He would of course have to return at frequent intervals to his own planetary conditions where he could replenish and recharge his body. Picture, however, if you will, the emergence of a new being on the planet Venus even in any of the lower orders. We must assume, as I have said, that he is comparatively a highly advanced soul. Finding himself in this new spiritual environment and with such spiritual powers as thought projection, levitation, frequency alteration relationships and other spiritual awakening stimuli, he may become imbued with an overzealous consciousness to help his fellow men on some lower order. He, and others like him, may form some group or even a community, and in their combined mental attitude of helping some lower mankind, will consummate their desires on some other planet such as Earth. They will usually attempt in some way to appear either singularly or perhaps en masse, and by adopting various disguises will attempt to reflect, while they are on the Earth, a consciousness of the wrong and sinful way in which these men may be living. Usually such efforts, while motivated by spiritual principles, are short-lived and unfruitful inasmuch as these particular Venusians have not yet reached a place of consciousness in their evolution where they have the true spiritual evaluations. They have in some cases become overzealous and attempted to force, in some way, what they believe to be their better philosophy onto some less understanding man. This, as we know, is not quite right. It is God's divine purpose and will, in placing man upon the countless planes and expressions in what we call life, that mankind shall learn of infinity and thus become an individualized finite expression in his infinite relationship with the creative source. This can be done in only one way. Each individual must seek out his own pathway, and whether he takes a long time or a short time is of no consequence in the mind of the God Force, the ultimate factor being that the ever-seeking, ever-wanting, a higher relationship must come from within the individual by his own will and desire. Each experience, each evolution, and the sum total of its experiences are of no consequence except that they have been expressions in which the individual learned something more of the infinity and purpose of God. But getting back to the experience of one of your Earth brothers, I will not say directly that he did or did not go to Venus planet in the manner described. However, I will point out to you that, while it was entirely possible in such a manner, but it is of small consequence and like many similar attempts to help the Earth people have always come to naught. Such lower orders of Venusians would, of course, have to seek out Earthlings who could be used for their purpose. Just as in hypnosis, all people cannot be hypnotized. Neither could all Earth men be changed in their frequency relationship to their Earth plane in such a way as to enable them to be transported in some such vessel to our planet. So therefore these two brothers quickly found and singled out such an individual who was so easily altered for this purpose. As the Venusians had not evolved to a point where they had separated themselves from the idea that it was still necessary to travel through space in some sort of vehicle, or even if they had so disassociated themselves from such ideas, they would have still found it necessary to use some sort of vehicle, for the Earthman would have completely revolted, as he was not sufficiently wise to know about such things as astral projection as in your particular case, such as the process now being used by the channel, in this work. In describing his trip he spoke of arriving in some Venusian city, and he attempted to give some description, in which he stated of the peoples he saw that there was a separation of the two sexes into different levels of consciousness, or as he thought, two levels in space. This is quite true in the very lowest order, on Venus. These peoples have not yet quite completely evolved into the necessary spiritual relationship between the sexes. If you will refer to one of the teachings from the planet Eros, which you have received, in which was stated the psychic body consists somewhat of a mass of waveforms, the sum total being the spiritual counterpart of each Earth experience. As can easily be seen, with each day, each year, and each lifetime, the addition of all these new experiences as waveforms projected into the psychic body will in time displace many of the Euphoria frequency structures. These older structures have also their own natural tendency to fade away, as they can only be kept alive through the nourishment of memory consciousness. Therefore, as in these low-order Venusians, there are still psychic structures that have not faded away, which have in some previous lifetime related in a very strong fashion to sex associations. These people, however, in assuming their new mantle of spiritual knowledge and its relationship to their emergence into this new planetary way of life, have, with this knowledge, a sincere desire to eliminate the last vestiges and traces of the lower Earth life sex experiences. In the material world, such as your Earth, sex is a vital and integrated part of your lives. Of course, there is much false knowledge and many perversions in the expression of sex. However, it is often the underlying sex relationship which will bring out the very best in an Earth man, but with the passing of each evolution comes new knowledge and new relationships. On Venus, sex is no longer necessary as a procreative factor. It must, like many other things, be displaced by new and higher relationships. In the separation of the sexes in this low order of Venusian culture, these people have merely attempted to eliminate close relationships and such stimulating factors as might arise in such close proximities. Now I believe I have cleared up to some extent this particular incident in question. One thing more, however, I believe it was mentioned that an extremely hard piece of steel plate was easily scratched by the stroke of a fingernail. Earthmen are puzzled at this. They say it would have required 17,000 pounds pressure to do this, also some super hard instrument. It is quite obvious how limited these Earthmen are in their knowledge. May I point out that the addition of caloric energy or heat in sufficient quantity would have caused this same steel to run like water. However, the puzzle was that no heat was involved. Again, referring back to our concept of frequency relationship, Brother Bocco simply altered the relationship of the metal in its atomic structure with its basic frequency relationship from the dimension in which it was energy into the dimension in which it expressed itself as mass. The density or hardness of any such mass is merely the product of relationship with the dimension in which it exists as energy. Now I believe that this is about sufficient for this time. Look about you once more and carry with you all the beauty which you see around you, and while you find this extremely difficult to describe in your language, I say that this too is a concept which is a product of relationship with the infinite fountainhead. On our next visit we shall explore some of the many wonderful mysteries of this beautiful place. I hope sincerely that I have made clear some of the factors which pertain to the evolution of mankind in its various orders which are expressed as life on this planet. Your brother, Malva. Chapter 13. A hearty welcome again, brother and sister. I see the temperature of your planet is rising and I realize it would be more comfortable for our transmission at this hour. I had hoped in the previous transmission to have included something of the abstract sense of concept. I have stressed concept very emphatically throughout our numerous discussions. It is the basic structure of concept which always relates man to his particular stage of evolution. As we somewhat understand the infinity of what you might call dimension or time and space, it is therefore logical that an individual can occupy any one or a number of positions in infinity according to his concept. This concept is actually the proper working part of the thing you call faith. You must conceive the infinite nature of the multidimensional fountainhead and of its infinite expressions before you can relate them to your own dimension and your own time. A faith healing is always an expression of some such concept. In bringing up the case of the young man who made the contact with the Venusians, I did not do so with the jurisdictional attitude that he had or had not done so, nor must it be so misconstrued or that I had, as you say, an axe to grind. Rather, it was used as a basis for evaluation in not only this particular case, but so that such logical reasoning would enable us to assume a better position of concept. Quite often, and in fact it is a general malpractice by which the lower orders of mankind are constantly deluding themselves by false associations and thought patterns which they have assumed in a reactionary way of life. We might say of the Venusian and the young man that his experience will be, as I said, as meaningless as a wave upon the shore. As the young man was attending a medical college and was completely steeped in traditional earth lore related to the objective mechanism known as the human body, he was quite anxious to prove to the outside world in the most, to him, obvious way of rendering such proof. It did not occur to him that he had expressed in a logical sequence, and that inasmuch as the Venusian did not breathe oxygen he could not therefore maintain metabolism, which is a part of your normal physical body functioning. The whole idea of metabolism in your body revolves around the use of oxygen. The assimilation of nutrients depends entirely upon this process. In analyzing the blood of the Venusian, assuming that there was blood and that it contained nutrients, how then could my friend explain the lack of oxygen? Such an illogical hypothesis has, in consequence, defeated much of the intended good purpose for which this experience was contrived. It is quite true that the physical body, as it appeared, did contain blood and the various structures attributed to it. However, they did not function, nor had they any function. The Venusian, in materializing such a material body on your earth plane, would do so on the basis of his knowledge of your bodily structures. In his particular stage of evolution, and with the net product of his intelligence, he would quite likely assume that such a relationship of physical structure was a necessity on your earth. And so, in his anxiety, unwittingly perpetrated some unsound aspects which are misleading, inasmuch as they do not reflect the true relationship of this Venusian. As I have said, in the higher orders of concept your position in the innumerable universes and dimensions will be determined by your concept. Likewise, all the things about you, in their sum total, will be only products of concept. The naked savage in your jungle could not conceive your way of life. he would be confounded and confused by the multiplicity of, shall I say, gadgets about you. He would be terror-stricken at the roar and rumble of your great cities. Likewise, you would find his way of life intolerable. That is why any explorer, in going into the jungle, must carry large quantities of his civilized appurtenances, for he would die without them. But I see I have consumed enough time on this subject. Let us merely say that we must not be deluded by illogical conclusions which have happened in the lives of others. If we seek far enough, the infinite God within us will give us the answers. Now I believe my dear sister posed a question as to how our buildings were constructed.